We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spiegel and Parkins, highbrow, lowbrow, and everything in between on this Friday. What up, Spiegs?
I think that's some of the most important work we can do, is when things like that come up, instead of just tossing them off as random conversational moments, really get to the bottom of the situation.
I was looking for a manure expert to call in. We never found one, though.
But all of our farmers, man, they're all out there.
That's true.
Appreciate you hearing from farmers. I was thinking last night, I was actually telling people about some of the conversation, like the one guy who said, I am standing in the middle of the doctor's office screaming, Kawhi Leonard is better. It's like sometimes the conversations we have will lead people to scream. I'm in the produce section screaming, no chicken crap. You don't want that. You don't want that around.
Right. It elicits emotion.
Yes.
The debates that we have.
Wherever you are.
That's true.
We're happy to be there with you.
Absolutely right. And we're happy to be here on this Friday ahead of Wild Card Weekend. And no Bears.
Man.
No Bears.
I'm so looking forward to four football games without the Bears. And yes, I'm excited to watch them, but they're not necessarily appointment viewing, not necessarily all of them. They'll just kind of be on as a part of your life all weekend long. Next weekend better, you think?
Next weekend's better. You get the teams that have the chance to win the Super Bowl. Not that anybody doesn't, but you get the favorites. Now this year's a little different, I think, in the NFC. I think the NFC wild card games have a chance to be better than the NFC divisional round games because of the Nick Foles situation in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a division rematch with Panthers Saints, and then I think Falcons Rams, and we've got Kevin Harlan on at noon today. Kevin Harlan is calling Falcons Rams. To me, that's the most interesting game of the weekend.
See,
Saturday night.
I think it's Saints and Panthers, but either one. I mean, both of those NFC games are just absolutely stellar this weekend.
Yeah, for me, the reason I'd put Falcons Rams above it. Rams, who knows? Falcons were NFC champs last year as the sixth seed. Mm-hmm. So you've got the experience of the NFC champs from last year against the youngest team in the NFL.
Plus, as we know, everything about the Rams this year is the Bears next year.
That's how it works, right?
Every single thing. Once we find our Sean McVay and we give John DeFilippo 2.5 hours during the first interview to work with Mitch Trubisky, just like McVay had, you know, we go out and sign our equivalent of Robert Woods, trade for our equivalent of Sammy Watkins. It will play out exactly like the Rams here.
Well, what are you talking about when you say John DeFilippo? I thought it was going to be Bill Belichick. I thought Bill Belichick was the next Bears head coach.
Did I bury the lead?
I think you did. I think that's what the text line and Twitter is saying off of the Seth Wickersham piece detailing Patriots dysfunction. I'm pretty sure this is Belichick's last year in New England, and he is going to decide to go to the NFC and another charter franchise and take on the Bears challenge.
I'd like to work for Ted Phillips is what Bill is thinking. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think so. I think that's what he wants to do.
God. You know who?
The cutoff hoodies would work here.
How about the Giants? How about the Giants? Look, seriously, like if Bill wants to keep coaching and I'm Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, I'm like, hey, let's go. Come on back. Finish out your career here. Come back where it all began. Let's do it.
How about this? I think that makes a lot of sense, and I think it's more likely, obviously, than the Bears, and I don't think that he's leaving New England, and obviously all of this
you
is being done tongue-in-cheek.
Do you think – what's your
– You think he's leaving New England?
What's your percentage chance? And after reading this stuff, I don't know how much of this stuff is true. It seems like a lot of it is true. Having checked around in some of the Boston media, with the stuff that they're arguing, the stuff that they're not arguing based off of it. I mean, if he was told to get rid of the quarterback, he wanted to follow Tom Brady.
Yes.
Insane.
That is insane, given that Bill Belichick has control over the football roster.
I mean, we're talking about Ted Phillips meddling with the football people on certain things. The non-football guy, Bob Kraft, told Belichick what to do because of what Tom Brady wanted.
On behalf of Tom Brady,
unbelievable.
Reportedly. That is crazy. I think the biggest... I don't describe the story as a bombshell story because of a lot of it makes sense when tremendous ego gets involved, right? Like all things end and like they get bad at the end, because if they didn't get bad at the end, they wouldn't. Like, they would stay together, right? This is ego. This is success and all of that. It's very rare that you get to be John Elway and ride off into the sunset.
This is another example. Yes, this is another example that no organization in any sport is immune to the potential for human frailty. This is ego. This is all that ugly stuff. And it's dynasties that end peacefully. That's a very, very short list.
Yeah.
If there are any. Dynasties that end right on time with everybody saying, this was great, let's walk away. All right, see you later. Very, very short list. This is some ugly stuff. And so, not a bombshell. I would say that Belichick being told to get rid of Garoppolo is indeed a bombshell. That one, that to me, absolutely is.
Yeah, I guess. Brady has more power and organizational clout than any player in football, and it's not close. And you could argue any player in the history of football, right? I mean, five championships, his connection to the owner, the closeness that they've always discussed it with, the players on the team call him sir. he's 40 and going to win the MVP.
I mean, everybody bows to the quarterback when he's good. And if your quarterback is weird, good luck, everybody. And that's the thing. Brady's gotten really weird over the past couple of years.
Right. Like the Guerrero stuff. For anyone who hasn't read the story, you should. It's a captivating read. But it reads like a power struggle between a bunch of really successful people with a ton of ego and... then there's just this wedge that's been thrown in there in the form of this quack doctor in Alex Guerrero, who Brady sides with, and then that splinters away from Belichick because he trusts his training staff and his diet guys and his regimen.
It's so juicy, man.
But then Gronk and Edelman want to get close to Brady, so they train with him.
Yeah.
But then Garoppolo and Brady share an agent, and Garoppolo got locked out of the doctor's facility.
Right.
Like, it's just... This guy seems insane.
Edelman goes down, and all the receivers are wondering, well, who's going to get the job to step in? So whoever wants to get the job thinks that they need to go work out with the quack, go work out with Guerrero,
and
even as Belichick is telling them not to do it. Yeah, I mean, those guys can destroy organizations, can destroy clubhouses.
Well, because could you imagine another scenario where a player – think about what we know about the NFL. And what Ryan Pace is saying about the Bears and how they're going to try. Okay, 2 years ago, it's 19 guys that end the season on IR. This year, it's 16 guys that end the season on IR.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of the money that they throw into injury prevention and sports science and diet and flexibility and training and off-season regimen and everything we know about what the NFL does for injury prevention. But a quarterback gets to employ his own personal doctor who's not accredited, who has settled lawsuits for claiming that supplements cure cancer.
Yeah.
And he gets to be a consultant on the payroll
Insane.
For the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what other player would have the power to be able to do that for a football team?
It is a perfect storm in that way. It really is. It's the exact right situation and the exact odd enough powerful dude. But
because even like a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's the best player in football, no, there'd be no reason for it because he's still in his athletic prime.
Mm-hmm.
Brady gets to legitimately argue, hey, I'm 40 and going to win the MVP, and I think I can play until I'm 45. So obviously this guy's the reason for it.
This is Robert Kraft apparently telling you, as an owner, what he thinks is most important is keeping the quarterback happy as opposed to the Hall of Fame coach happy. We have had these discussions. That's why it's so compelling to me. We've had these discussions. Is it Brady? Is it Belichick? Is it both? Who is better without who? Kraft is not necessarily clearly picking one over the other. It's not quite that simple. But he's telling Bill, go find your next quarterback in the draft. Forget Garoppolo. He's making him uncomfortable. So he's valuing Bill's ability and the potentiality for finding another quarterback versus Bill's feeling that I think Garoppolo is special. This is the guy. This is the right guy to do it. Because Bill had a deal on the table, $17 million, $18 million a year for Garoppolo with escalators for when he eventually replaces Brady. He wanted to go down that road and leave the Patriots with Garoppolo moving forward. And Kraft said, screw it. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And then I like this as a thought exercise because I think the biggest thing that comes out of it is that potentially it's the beginning of the end of the power three in New England, Kraft, Brady, Belichick. Well, we know Brady's not going anywhere because they traded Garoppolo. We know Kraft's not going anywhere because he owns the team. So if anyone was to go,
that's what I'm saying,
it would be Belichick, and I don't think that will happen. But how about this for the exercise? Say it did. What would you be willing to pay
for Bill Belichick?
What's he worth
to trade for him? Yeah.
Or no. If he retire,
for dollars.
Well, or trade, either one. If Bill Belichick became available, what is his value on the open market?
I'll tell you what it reminds me of course, and it came up the other day as we were discussing John Gruden. When Vince Lombardi went to the Washington Redskins, he was given a 5% ownership stake. 5%. So that was Lombardi who had that run of genius in Green Bay, and that's what Vince Lombardi was worth. So I know we talk about the absurdity of Gruden being offered ownership stake. It wouldn't be absurd to offer Belichick ownership stake to get him to come and fix your organization and set you up for a couple of decades is the thought process.
Yes, it would. It would. I mean,
there's nobody else.
Vince Lombardi getting ownership stake. What year did that happen?
1970, I believe.
Okay. So what was the value, the valuation of the Green Bay Packers then? They didn't see it becoming a $2.5 billion.
I'm not saying 5%.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
1% ownership stake.
Belichick's 65 years old. So how much longer is he doing? You're not giving him ownership, but there's no salary cap on it, and these guys are billionaires. Like the McKett, $20 million a year.
There's no cap on it, as you say. I think, what are we, $8 million is Pete Carroll? Is that right?
No, it's more. It's got to be more than that. So Sean Payton's second at $8 million, exactly. The guys are saying Pete Carroll at $8 million. But you know,
I thought it was about $8 million.
But try to find Bill Belichick's salary, because a lot of coaching salaries are not directly reported.
Seven and a half?
Is that include? I remember reading stuff about how those guys make more money, especially when they have football control, and it's not all out there. Like, we don't know exactly what Ryan Pace makes and all that. It doesn't have to be reported like players do.
Yeah, and Bill,
because of the cap.
And Bill's got multiple responsibilities. They can spread out the dollars amongst multiple titles and stuff like that.
Yeah. So maybe that's right, and it's Pete Carroll's capped out at $8 million. It's double that. Right, it's got to be double that if Belichick hit the open market.
Let me ask you, how much money do you have? what's handy? Are we talking about like Russ Matera in a manila envelope on the way home from a car dealership money? Are we talking about like George McCaskey pocket change? What are we talking about here?
I don't know.
Seriously, I mean,
what would you trade? Because again, he's 65 years old, so he's not going to be the coach for the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Gruden got traded when Gruden got traded in the Tampa trade. Two firsts?
A one and a two, I believe.
A one and a two. Belichick himself has already been traded for a one.
Yeah.
Right? So the Bears
have the eighth pick in the draft. You trade the eighth pick.
And your number one next year?
And your first round pick next year for Bill Belichick when you only get him for 5 years.
Oh, then you need a 72-hour negotiating window just to make sure he's going to stay here with you.
Yeah. Well, I assume you get his contract. I don't know how long he signed for. The story we just broke this morning. But I think that is interesting, like what Bill Belichick would potentially be worth. Not that I think he's going to hit the open market, but what would it be worth?
I think there is certainly a less than zero chance that he hits the open market after reading this stuff. After the
More than zero chance.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right. Good call.
Big take.
Way to catch me.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not trying to.
No. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I welcome it.
I think there is certainly no chance.
Certainly no chance. Right. No, but I mean, like, the dude was told you can't have your successor, and everybody's legacy is in play here. Tom Brady, until a couple years ago, keeping it just to football and family and keeping it close to the vest and all that. His legacy and his reputation is getting uglier as we go here. Now that the quack has talked him into going public and telling you that if you drink enough water and eat enough vegetables, then you can be an elite athlete until you're 45. Okay.
Water. That was coming back to bite me. He's talking to me about water all the time.
He needs a dehydration evaluation from an IV me facility.
IV me Chicago. Check it out. Mention the score. Get 50% off. Tom Brady would endorse it.
He might.
He might. All right. 670-11. What would you be willing to give up for Belichick, either monetarily or through trade, if he became available?
Yeah.
I'm genuinely interested in it.
I understand. And
last call at 10 o'clock, by the way.
And dynasties that end peacefully. I mean, do you... You know, it's interesting. I keep thinking about the Bulls because how do you not? That's what we lived through in this town. But like those guys, they all decided to walk away together. I mean, Kraus and Reinsdorf got left to do their thing, and they kind of ushered it out. But it is rare that Phil and Michael decide, you know, all right, let's just go together. And they kind of hastened it that way. You could argue that that is in some way a peaceful finish, even though there was probably a little bit more meat on the bone.
Yeah, there was a little bit more dysfunction at the end of that thing, even though they all left at the same time.
Yeah.
There was infighting about should we come back and do it one more time.
For years leading up to it. For years leading up to it. Yeah, for years. Trying to
Yankees argument. The Yankees example is a pretty good one.
The Yankees did a remarkable job as people. I mean, Joe Torre goes away because they hit their little timestamp on that, and Girardi helps extend it. But Rivera retiring, Bernie Williams, Posada a little ugly at the end with Posada just a tiny bit. Jeter is pampered and sent away, allowed to do anything he wants to do. But yeah, they're bad for like a year and a half, and now here they are back.
John Gruden was two firsts and two seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew remember it was two firsts.
Wow.
Two firsts and two seconds for John Gruden. I mean,
yeah,
that's an insane haul for a coach.
Some of the trade offers that are coming in here. My firstborn for Bill Belichick.
All right, perfect.
Formula One boy says he's got to be worth Mike Glennon money. $18 million.
Right, you would think, right? Yeah, $18 million guaranteed.
Ted Phillips and all of the McCaskies for Bill. I don't think we're going to get that done.
No. Yeah, I don't think the Patriots would want
it. I think that's a no.
So we'll do the wild card weekend. Hub at 10, Rich Campbell at 11, Kevin Harlan at noon, a celebrity picker who is one of our favorite guests of 2017 at 12:30. The rundown brought to you by Zillow. With millions of photos of homes for sale and for rent, historical pricing data, and tools to help home buyers find what they're looking for, Zillow, find your way.
And I agree with Jim in Lockport. It says before you give up anything for Belichick, you got to make him do a mock press conference.
See if
he can get through it.
Definitely.
Survive Chicago media.
He doesn't have the experience. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bring it on. Bring me a controversy. Bring me a gate. I don't care. Give me a spy gate, deflate gate.
What's this one? TB12 gate, Guerrero gate?
Guerrero gate. I like the alliteration.
Garoppolo gate. No, I think it's Guerrero gate. This is the insidious presence that has gotten in there and undermined what seemed to be a workable relationship.
Tom Brady's quack doctor. That's the thing that's going to bring down the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think it will.
I don't know.
I don't think it will.
What's interesting about the possibilities of Belichick bailing is that Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia are all like, yes, yes, I'll interview there. Absolutely. Let's go. I mean, maybe Josh, if he loses both offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. And
it's happened before.
And I know, but he feels like the owner doesn't have his back. And he feels like the quarterback has forced his way into being allowed to stay until he falls apart. I could absolutely see Bill saying, all right, I guess we're done. Guess we're done here.
Maybe retirement. You think Bill Belichick coaches another team?
I'm not sure about that, but leaving at all? You're granting the possibility of leaving at this point,
yeah,
having read this stuff?
It's non-zero. It's non-zero.
It's a better way to say it than the way I tried last segment.
I'm here for you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
But I wouldn't bet on it. Like, more likely, Bill Belichick coaches somewhere else next year. Or more likely, Bill Belichick not employed by the Patriots next year, or they win the Super Bowl this year.
So you're not even going employed or not employed.
Yeah, no.
How about both? Can I get a both?
Get six and ride off into the sunset?
Good night, everybody.
I mean, he strikes me as the guy that doesn't want to do anything else with his life. Like when you see him courtside at Celtics games in the playoffs with his wife, doesn't he look miserable?
Yeah, well, even when he's smiling on the boat, yeah, it's kind of like a Nick Szczepkowski smile where, like, you know, somebody's forcing those lips up. They don't really want to be smiling.
Fine if I have to. Like, he just
having a good time.
Yeah.
Imagining Bill having sex. This is great. Love this.
I wasn't gonna imagine.
Oh,
that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I guess that's just me.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's fine. Whatever you want to do. Old people got to get it too. You know all about that.
You know. You little freaking whippersnapper. When's 120? When's 120? Ready to be done with you.
4 hours. Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. 1 week back in 2018, there's discord and drama within the ranks. We're going to be stumbling into our one-year anniversary show, January 17th.
Right. I hope people are ready to enjoy our first and last anniversary show.
I'm looking forward to our only anniversary show ever. The Score celebrates 25 years of Chicago sports talk and one of Spiegel and Parkins. January 17th on The Score.
Everybody look forward to the only anniversary show these guys will get. That's coming. That's coming.
It's going to be very exciting. January 17th.
Absolutely going to be fun. Texture says, I think it's almost obvious Brady's the most powerful quarterback in the history of football. For God's sake, Johnny Unitas, Montana, Favre, Peyton Manning all finished their careers with different teams.
That's right.
No player's job security has ever been unimpeachable up until apparently Tom Brady.
And
it's crazy.
But also deservedly so.
No way.
What are you talking about? He's going to win the MVP. He's 40. Look at what those guys did when they were 35 and older.
So you let him go until he's 43, 44, and send away the heir apparent that you, the Hall of Fame genius coach and GM, have decided is the guy? You send him away?
Yes.
No. Nobody should be that powerful.
Hold on, though.
A single player.
You could have traded Garoppolo earlier. I'm not saying they handled Garoppolo correctly.
No, they didn't.
They didn't maximize his value, but Tom Brady's going to win the MVP. They're the one seed. They're the favorites for the Super Bowl.
Suck it up and deal with the fact that Garoppolo's here. We'll pay him. Look, Tom, don't worry about
it.
We're
going to
keep paying you. We're going to pay both you guys until you're done.
Jimmy Garoppolo didn't want that. He wasn't going to sign. He wasn't going to sign to be a backup. He wanted to leave.
Well,
there are reports out there that contract was not even formally offered, but a framework of it was just discussed.
No, you're right.
Jimmy Garoppolo did not want to be his backup. Now, if he was the succession plan, he would have taken that.
If it was soon. The Patriots, according to the article, repeatedly offered Garoppolo 4-year contract extensions in the $17 to $18 million range, which could go higher each year if he did Brady. Garoppolo and his agent, also Don Yee, same agent as Brady, rejected the offers. Patriots knew they couldn't make any promises to Garoppolo about the timing of taking over at quarterback without it getting back to Brady. All right.
Brady wants to keep playing for another 5 years. And I'm not saying that he should play for another 5 years. And I think that you can make the argument that they should have self-scouted Brady better to feel confident about him for this year and traded him last offseason when, in theory, they could have gotten more than a second-round pick.
But if Jimmy's when they were not out of sign, leverage. I mean, they could have franchised him. Could have franchised him and extended the conversation.
So he's the most expensive backup quarterback in the history of the league with Tom Brady still saying he's going to play more than 1 year. And then you just waste $18 million on a backup and you don't get any trade value for him.
Well, they were about to offer him the 4-year deal with that $17 million, $18 million there.
But he wasn't going to take it. Like you can offer someone anything. If they're not going to take it, it takes two to make a deal. I think they should have traded Garoppolo before the season for more value than they got for only a second rounder to an NFC team in season. Thanks, Joe. Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Burlington. Hurry into your Burlington store and save on the hottest workout gear like tops and bottoms with mesh and lace-up details, plus sneakers, wireless headphones too. Burlington. Style for everyone. So yeah, I'm not arguing that they did the right thing in this entire thing.
Yeah.
I just don't know. No one's ever been this good this late in their career. And I don't think you move on from the greatest player in the history of your franchise, the greatest player arguably in the history of the sport, when he's going to win an MVP at 40 and maybe another Super Bowl for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Closest comp is the Packers sitting there with Favre. Towards the end,
yep,
trying to edge Favre out or at least appeal to the ambivalence, the side of Brett Favre where he was saying, no, I do think I'm done. All right, fine, I'm done, when they know they've got Aaron Rodgers sitting behind.
Right.
And that worked out very well for them, the way they ended up playing that, even though Brett Favre moves on and has a nice chapter in Minnesota.
Has a nice chapter in Minnesota, but Favre wasn't Brady. Right, as great as he was and as iconic as he was, at the end of his time, he was not as good as Brady. He wasn't. It's not like he won an MVP in his last season in Green Bay. And Rodgers had been there. Like, the Rodgers part is comparable, right?
Right.
Draft investment, multiple years as the backup, really believing in him.
It's the closest comp in that way.
And all of that. But Favre was not as good at the end in Green Bay as Brady is at the end in New England.
Let's check those stats of Favre with the final year. I remember the final pass as a Packer. He threw it. It was an interception to the Giants. Is it Corey Webster? Is that the name? Giants corner in the freezing cold, who made the pick on a terribly underthrown ball by Brett Favre.
And 28 touchdowns, 15 picks, 66% completion percentage his last year in Green Bay.
Okay.
2007, 38 years old.
That's a pretty damn good year. That's a pretty damn good year for a 38-year quarterback, of course.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. But let's real quick, let's pull up Tom Brady just for this year, because 15 picks, it's a very good year, mm-hmm. not an MVP year. We're at 32 touchdowns, 4,500 passing yards, mm-hmm. and 8 interceptions. So 4 more touchdowns, 7 fewer picks, and albeit in a different era, let me get you the yards real quick, and 400 more passing yards for Brady.
So I mean that's your closest. Look, the quarterback has all the power. Everybody
bows, 2 years older.
Everybody bows to the quarterback. Everybody. Yeah. And if he's weird, good luck. And he is weird. This texture says, look, why is it crazy to think that water and veggies will keep your body in shape to play football at an MVP level? Last time I checked, Tom Brady's the greatest, so he must be doing something right. I think you guys don't know WTF you're talking about. Sir, look into the TB12 stuff. There are a lot of articles out there you can find. It is beyond water and veggies.
Well, also, you think that Tom Brady's the only NFL player that hydrates and eats his vegetables? Come on now.
This is the
they
part
all
of it.
Have personal nutritionists and dietitians and team issued meal plans and all that. Like, come on.
I mean, to be fair, I'm skeptical of vegetables. But.
Yeah, right. Me too. And I'm skeptical of water.
You're still producing at a Hall of Fame level, though. By the way, the doctor, as you said in the past, sued for saying dietary supplements could cure cancer. Is now a guy who has convinced Brady to go into business, and the stuff is so specious, the multiple claims and bizarre, weird things he's claiming. And it dovetails with what's gone on in New England for all these years, and Brady playing this well at this age and everything. And like, oh, don't they seem to get more out of guys when they go there? It's just, it sure has felt like that organization knows something.
Yeah.
And some of those guys know something. How does your brain not go there in an NFL filled with misdeeds as it is?
So if anyone hasn't read the story, it's about the potential beginning of the end of the dynasty in New England. Seth Wickersham, ESPN, reporting that Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady's team doctor, has caused a lot of division and dissent in the ranks. Also, the trading of Jimmy Garoppolo, mm-hmm. Belichick coaching Brady the way he does, and Belichick potentially walking away at the end of the season.
Hey, man, Joe Montana ends up in Kansas City because Steve Young is deemed ready, and damn it, go ahead, Joe. We're going to go ahead and move on without you. Every comp has Brady being ushered along except this one.
Five years, $100 million for Belichick. Would you do it?
Sure, of course.
Of course.
Not my money.
Right? It doesn't count against the cap. Not your money.
Can you? Oh boy, that'd be so fun. An open market bidding for Belichick.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be insane. We would have never seen anything like it in coaching. It would be totally unprecedented. Oh, yeah. He's the greatest coach in the history of the sport. There was dysfunction that wasn't of his doing. He made the right decision. He had the right evaluation of Garoppolo, but had to trade him against his will. So he didn't even falter at the end. And, oh, by the way, he just won the Super Bowl.
He just won
What's
the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's going out right there.
What's he worth?
At age 66, yeah, but who cares?
Would every NFL team fire their coach to hire Bill Belichick?
How about their coach and their GM? Would every NFL team blow up their complete power structure to bring in Belichick and let him bring whoever he wants?
Would the Rams?
Yeah, probably not. Okay.
The Rams probably wouldn't, right?
The Rams feel pretty, which is insane to say. But yeah. So there's a few. There's a few that feel good about where they are.
Does Seattle? Enough.
Probably.
I think they probably do, right?
I think
they do.
Seattle's right there at the cusp of what feels like the end for them.
I don't think Pittsburgh does.
Pittsburgh might not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're probably right. Pittsburgh, they love Tomlin and they love continuity. Like, they value loyalty more than probably any organization in football.
That list that doesn't blow up the entire power structure for Bill Belichick is certainly less than 10. Is it less than 5?
I mean,
New Orleans?
I think New Orleans probably does, right? I mean,
I think it's more Loomis than Peyton that would be the sticking point.
Mickey Loomis is going to stand in the way of bringing Bill Belichick in to run your franchise?
For as important as he is to that organization, yeah, it sounds dumb, but just being realistic.
All right, so the Rams don't because McVay's 31.
And McVay and Goff have something special here in year two of a quarterback's life.
The Steelers don't because of loyalty, and they pride themselves on not having coaching turnover.
They have a system in place with their GMs and with one coach to the next, and they have a lot of good players as well.
Let's grant Campy New Orleans on Loomis and 12 years of Breeze and Peyton, right? And how good they've been this year. Let's grant them that one. Vikings?
Vikings with Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer feeling good about the direction of that team. They might say no.
Spielman's drafting has been pretty damn good.
Yeah. And we're talking about Ziggy Wolf
saying
that.
That sucks if you're a Bears fan to hear that, by the way. That a team in your own division would not blow up their power structure for Bill Belichick.
Green Bay. I think
Green Bay would.
I think we'd safely say that's a yes. After Green Bay
has got rid of everybody, not named Mike McCarthy.
They've gotten rid of everybody above Mike McCarthy and below Mike McCarthy.
I still think he stinks.
I know. But they're letting him stand. Aaron likes him. That's what. So they're like, okay, let's have Aaron and have him.
I think Aaron would like Belichick more.
Yeah, he'd probably be fine with that.
So we're at four.
What was our fourth?
Vikings, Saints, Steelers, Rams.
Yeah, we're at four.
We're at four. Teams that would not blow up the entire power structure for Bill Belichick and give him a five-year, $100 million contract.
Baltimore, Ozzie Newsome.
No, they blow it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Ozzie Newsome has been so good for so long.
Not lately.
Yeah, they've been trending down lately. And it, yeah, they do it.
Do the Eagles say no? With Carson Wentz and Peterson in place.
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's a fun story. It's a fun what if heading into wild card weekend when the Patriots don't even play. It's going to hang over the entire thing.
A few trade offers have come in via text. Schwarber, Hayward, first round pick, Avisail Garcia, and Nico Miritich for Bill Belichick.
All right, we'll keep with those in the wild card weekend next before Hub on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Markish in 15 minutes. He is working the sidelines for Westwood One for Titans and Chiefs on Saturday. You could hear all of Wild Card Weekend right here on the Score. We'll ask him also about if anything is new in the Bears coaching search and what he thinks Bill Belichick would be on the open market. We always talk about how Bears fans' cynicism is earned and deserved. I'm not sure that any segment we've done, Speaks, in our nearly 1 year together exemplifies that more than the text line's reaction and conviction that if Bill Belichick became available, the Bears would not pursue him.
A lot of people thinking they wouldn't just because of the ego / stupidity of the McCaskies or Ted Phillips telling the McCaskies what to do.
People saying that Ted Phillips would hire a search firm that would land on Bill Belichick. So that's where some Bears fans are at with this coaching search. Makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Ernie, of course, he comes in, takes off the toupee and says, look, I got you a guy. I found a guy. I'm not saying he'll say yes, but should talk to him. I mean, they just, gave Ryan Pace a two-year extension? Got to eat 4 years now of a general manager's contract?
I mean, you make that up. Incompetency in developing Trubisky.
Before you pay the $15, $20 million a year we're talking about for Bill.
You make it up, man. You make it up. How about the Cowboys? Do they blow everything up to give Bill Belichick power when Jerry Jones got rid of Jimmy Johnson?
That's
because
right.
Jimmy Johnson got too much credit for the first dynasty.
That's on the front end. On the front end, a young, vibrant Jerry Jones said, screw you, get out of here, you can't do it. Now on the back end here, as he continues to show his faith in Jason Garrett, and they keep, underachieving, at least in his mind, is he ready to walk away to a life full of only Johnny Walker Blue instead of pretending he knows how to run a football team?
Because, a lot of people there say that he wants so badly to win one more removed from that because then he would get the credit for it. So does he want to win one more?
Because even the one he won with Switzer still feels like Jimmy's.
Jimmy's players, same group, same era, same dynasty.
Yeah, but he'd be able to swing it around saying he's the one that was able to lure Bill Belichick when the entire NFL was after him.
True. True. He would be able to, but who gets credit for winning? Like, I think Belichick would get more credit for winning, and I think that would drive Jerry Jones crazy.
Yeah, I think so.
And listen, we're four schmucks sitting around trying to predict the egomaniacal mind of Jerry Jones. Like, who the hell knows what he's thinking?
I don't know if we're four schmucks.
All right, I'm a schmuck sitting around with three other guys trying to figure out what Jerry Jones is
doing. No, I mean, I think Jay's a schmuck. So.
Okay. Oh, I got an issue with – I got a beef with Jay Zawoski we're going to get to.
I know you do,
a
by
little
the way.
Bit later.
So what's our list right now? Rams, Viking, Saints, Raiders. Did we say Raiders because of Gruden?
No, we Steelers.
Steelers.
We said Steelers, and I think Raiders because of Gruden is definitely debatable.
Okay.
And then the Chiefs is debatable also.
Chiefs is debatable also because they like Andy Reid and they like...
And Clark Hunt has said publicly that the organization that he respects most is the Steelers because of their continuity.
Right.
And he hated when they had the Romeo Crennel, Todd Haley, Herm Edwards like turnover back to back to back.
Let me give you another team that I don't think would blow things up for Bill Belichick. They just finished year one of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo all together. You think that you don't think they feel pretty good about the direction things are going?
I think they feel good about the direction, but who gave them Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, I'm not crowning John Lynch like everybody else is.
I'm not saying crown him, but like the way that they feel about it, they each got 5 years left. They probably feel like, no, we're okay. We're all right. We're building our thing.
Yeah. But the guy who gave them the quarterback, who developed the like who found Jimmy Garoppolo, scouted him, developed him, and all that. It's Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster. Like, I'm not, you know, I would hope that they would blow
it's
it
true.
Up. I would hope they would blow it up for him. You're right. Maybe they wouldn't, but I would hope they would.
We had Eagles with a question mark.
I'd say they would.
You think they would?
Yeah.
In Denver, does John Elway convince whoever he needs to convince these days?
They'd be fools not to.
Of course they would.
I mean, they'd be fools not to.
John Elway seems to have a way with the ownership brains out there.
Yeah.
That's still, even with our maybes, we're at an under 10. We're at an under 10 on the list.
He's pretty good at his job.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty successful track record.
Texter offers $3.5 million for Belichick.
Not going to get it done, but you can get a $3.5 million cash considerations shirt at
3.5.
Spiegel and Parkins Stuff. .com.
Spiegel and Belichick has a nice ring to it for a radio show.
Yeah, I've seen the texters. You're all very creative, trading me for Bill Belichick.
I thought Manoway's answers were short.
Yeah, exactly right.
He just grunts every now and again.
I don't know about baseball stuff. I don't know.
It'd be terrible.
How do you think Belichick would take Spiegel's vibes? His positive vibe.
I'm not a jukebox man.
Oh,
it's
got to
happen organically. I'm sorry. Spat Meagle is not just accessible anytime.
Wow.
Well, that makes him a lot less valuable to the show.
Conditions must be perfect.
Yeah, unbelievable.
For Spat Meagle to show up.
Yeah, you drop a bit on me. Like, come up with Spiegel and Belichick immediately. It's not that simple, my friend.
It takes a little while. Yeah,
there's some real creative genius behind Spat Meagle. Yeah. My bad.
Woo.
He's turning into a diva over here.
Simmer hey, down. I want it to be good.
Demanding Hawks minutes, coming up with voices.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Hawks minutes.
I am too.
I look forward to all three of those that happened during the week.
Wow.
Wow.
You know,
we're not making it to 1 year.
I'm kidding.
You're the guy. You're the guy who often says, like, nobody wants to hear that.
No, that's not what I say.
Oh,
what
really?
I say is
Jay hates hockey.
I have a hockey timer in my head, and I know that as the more I talk about it, is this too much? Am I doing too much?
Power play a week? That sounds about right.
How was Jeff Glass yesterday on the afternoon show? I didn't hear.
I skipped it.
Oh.
I missed it as well.
Come on.
I don't care about Jeff Glass. He's a bad goalie. There's a reason he's 32 and has not played in the NHL, because he's not very good. I'm sorry. It's a lovely story. I'm glad that Corey Crawford's hurt, but I'm glad that he had an opportunity because 15 other goalies are hurt in the organization, so he finally got his shot.
Why do you hate Jeff Glass?
That's great. I just never need to see him in a Blackhawk sweater again. That's it.
You're done.
Good story. Cool. Congratulations. Seems like a wonderful guy. Just please get me Corey Crawford back as soon as possible.
He seems better. He seems better, perhaps a little more important, the success of your beloved.
Yes.
Stay away from Zawoski's lawn today.
Yeah. Very, very opinionated.
Yeah. There was a lot of vicious pizza tweeting going on this morning, man.
Well, if Hub's call went straight to voicemail. So if he doesn't.
No, he's there. He's there.
Oh, he's there now?
Yep, he's there.
Okay. A little pump fake. Then we'll address Jay Zawoski's
the issue.
Slander. after we're done with Hub.
Okay. All right. Didn't mean to take you there too fast.
Well, we had to. I mean, I need a lot of time. I need a lot of time for that.
You do.
I need a lot of time, Speaks. Which game are you most looking forward to this weekend? We're going to talk about it with Hub.
Yeah, I think Saints-Panthers to me, just because
I
love me some Saints. I love me some Saints. And I know you're all over the Falcons and the Rams. You're feeling it.
Yeah, you know, Saints-Panthers, we've seen it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Saints got them both times. Cam, to me, is fascinating, though, because about a third of Cam's games this year, he's been amazing. And so if that Cam Newton shows up, mm-hmm. they can beat anybody. If the Cam Newton that played in Week 17 shows up, I think they lose that game by 21 or more. He was atrocious last week. But I legitimately don't know who's going to win Rams and Falcons. I think that is a complete toss-up game. Probably bet Atlanta, but mm-hmm. no one should care what I bet on, at least for the foreseeable future.
That's our the Saturday night is
yeah, it goes Chiefs Titans Saturday 3:30, then Falcons Rams after that. Both games, of course, on The Score. We have Kevin Harlan at noon, who's doing Falcons and Rams on Westwood One.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bills Jaguars early Sunday with Panthers Saints midday Sunday afternoon.
Okay, good. So the proper games are the second of each day.
Yes, primetime Saturday night is Falcons Rams, midday Sunday is Panthers Saints.
Okay.
Get these trash AFC games out of the way.
Well, you can have them just sort of exist in your periphery for a little while, and then if they demand isolation, you can grant them that as the day goes on.
The viewing experience for playoff weekends in the NFL is always a little tricky. Like, if any of the games are bad, you feel like you're just watching a bad Monday Night Football game. And you want to change the station, but it's a playoff game, mm-hmm. and so do you really watch the whole thing? Like, I probably will, but it's because I have no social life.
Right, and no children.
No children.
But, you know, I mean, the frozen tundra on which we live might force us all inside yet again.
I don't plan to do anything.
Why bother to go outside?
Bad playoff football is better than being outside.
Those of us with dogs know the look these days. Like, putting the dog on the leash this morning, and he's like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm like, you must. He's like, I know I have to. And he goes out and he's like, look, I'll pee here. Okay. All right, fine. I'll poop. Let's just go. And then he turns around. He's yanking us back.
Yeah.
To get back home.
I feel bad for the dog.
Yeah, you should.
And Steph's like, he's not getting enough exercise. I'm like, he doesn't want exercise.
He's
shivering.
Yeah. Teach him how to use the crapper and move on with your life.
We'll get an update on the Bears coaching search, if one exists, the Patriots story, and the wild card weekend with Hub Arkish next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.